Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Game day. It's always a pleasure when we get to come to you on a game day as the Browns prime time tonight on the NFL Network against the Cincinnati Bengals. Coming to you live from Cincinnati right now. I'm at the team hotel. Matt Wilhelm back in the Dog Bowl in Berea. But I'll tell you what, there's a palpable buzz around this city as the Browns came in and invaded it last night. Now, Cincinnati may not be the best party town on a Wednesday night, but nonetheless, lots of Browns fans out in the street as the Dog Pound certainly traveling for this primetime game. Everybody looking forward to it. Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl. What's going on, bro?
I'm good, bro. This place is empty because everybody has made that trip down to Cincinnati, so I am in the Dog Bowl without my partner in crime, but we are representing, bro.
We are ready to go. We're going to kick things off right now at the top of the show with Solomon Wilcott, a man who played for the Cincinnati Bengals, a man who called the preseason games for the Browns and has certainly been on the call for many Browns games over the last few years. Solomon, how are you doing today?
Guys, I'm doing great, and thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. Solomon, you know both of these teams very well. How big of a game is it for both of them, and especially from the Browns' perspective, what would a win tonight mean?
Well, obviously it means that you're going to be in first place in the division, and I don't know when was the last time that we could say the Cleveland Browns in the second half of the season stood alone in first place or even a share of first place. And then that means you would have gone on the road and won a division game, something you haven't done in seven straight contests. So as you can see, both of those things that I just pointed out are very significant achievements, not to mention what it does for your confidence, what it does for your morale, and then with 10 days to rest to get healthy, and you're soon to get Josh Gordon back, I think you're feeling really good about yourself and the prospects of potentially making the playoffs.
That's right, Solomon. Two of the leading men in this battle tonight will be Andy Dalton, who has since signed a large contract extension with the Cincinnati Bengals, and a guy on a one-year, $1 million deal, Brian Hoyer, here with the Cleveland Browns. A lot of comparisons between each other about some inaccuracies and their supporting cast kind of making them great. I'd love your analysis on Brian Hoyer personally with the Cleveland Browns and then how he compares and his future with the Cleveland Browns the same way Andy Dalton has got broken off there in Cincinnati.
Well, you know, you start with Brian Hoyer. I think you've got to look and see what he's doing in terms of throwing the ball down the field. I think he's got the best completion percentage of any passes of 25-plus air yards. In other words, when the ball's in the air for 25 yards or more, he's number one on the board when it comes to completing those passes. So he's highly efficient in taking advantage when they do decide to take shots down the field. You have to be because they don't really have a receiver that can stretch the field. He's not turning the ball over. He keeps the number of interceptions low. I think we watch a Ben Roethlisberger in terms of throwing over 500 yards, two straight weeks, and look at Peyton Manning and a Drew Brees and a Tom Brady, and everyone wants one of those quarterbacks. Well, guess what? There ain't a lot of those guys walking around. And I think Mike Pettine knows this, and you could hear him saying it throughout training camp. You know, they're just trying to find a guy that's not going to turn it over, that's going to utilize the run game, that's going to lean on the defense. They're trying to play complementary football, and I think Brian Hoyer understands where he fits in that process. And the same as, say, Alex Smith does with Kansas City. The smart quarterbacks just find a way to win, and that's why in his 11 starts, Brian Hoyer has been able to win the majority of those games.
Brian Hoyer, 8-3 as a starter for the Browns. Only one of those wins have come against a team with a better than 500 record. He will hope to change that tonight, getting his second win against a team like that. And he did beat the Bengals last time, 17-6. I think, Solomon, the key for the Browns on defense is to be able to lock down the run and show that heart up front that they haven't really shown the last couple of weeks as that run defense has been so soft against Jeremy Hill, who was very impressive last week in his first start.
Well, you got to lock down the run, there's no doubt. But the first component of that is you got to lock down A.J. Green because
yep.
With A.J. Green on the field, typically teams have to double cover him. Teams have to play a cover two shell. Teams can't commit eight to the box. You and I know you only can put seven in the box because you got to commit an extra defender to cover the talented A.J. Green. Now, if you're the Bengals, you're playing with house money. That's what you want. You want A.J. Green to dictate where you go with the ball. If there's eight in the box and you got single high man-to-man coverage, they're going to A.J. Green. Oh, by the way, Mohamed Sanu now has emerged as a weapon who's drawing a lot of double coverage and was still winning. Now, in fact, the 53-yard catch he had against Baltimore in the fourth quarter on that game-winning drive, he was double covered. So you've got to take away the big threat down the field. If you double A.J. Green, who's going to single up on Mohamed Sanu? If you double Mohamed Sanu, who's going to single up on A.J. Green? We know Joe Hayden's done a really good job over his career. He's going to have to continue that tonight because that's what's going to allow you, if you're the Cleveland Browns, to commit the numbers to the box needed to stop that run game you were talking about.
That's right. Nathan, my partner, talked about the Cincinnati Bengals run game, but the struggles here most recently in Cleveland have been with our offensive line and our running backs in that run game. Solomon, I know you've covered us multiple times this football season. Tell us what you saw, obviously, with missing Alex Mack. What is your best bet for this football team to get back on track to and that ability to run the football, which sets up Brian Hoyer in that play-action game?
Well, you know, I just thought week 7 against Jacksonville, they were overmatched, you know, John Greco moving him and then bringing in Paul McQuiston at the guard position. They clearly knew that was a disaster. So then, you know, against the Raiders, I think they found themselves. Nick McDonald is doing everything he can, put Greco back. And now it's about regaining and refining some chemistry and rhythm. Now, you know, I had said that I thought the Browns had one of the best offensive lines in the entire National Football League with Alex Mack, with Joel Bitonio added to play opposite, you know, Greco. And then, obviously, the great Joe Thomas at the left tackle position, Mitchell Schwartz, who's been great at right tackle. I thought they were the absolute best, physical. Joe Bitonio has helped them round out a great five. Now, you lose one guy, particularly the smartest guy, one of the toughest guys, the guy who hadn't missed any games, it's going to take a while because that chemistry and cohesiveness that comes over time, you know, it just doesn't, you can't just plug and play on the offensive line as much as you wish you could. I think they're right about the point. After playing three games with McDonald at center, I think they're right at the point where they can start to find themselves tonight. And they can throw three different running backs, as you guys well know, whether it's Ben Tate, Terrence West, or Isaiah Crowell, just enough to be efficient in the running game, just enough to give Brian Hoyer opportunities to play action pass, some of the reverse bootlegs, just enough where the offense can have balance. And I think they'll be able to find some rhythm tonight because Ray Maluga's out, Vontaze Burfict's out. If the Browns can't run the ball tonight, I'm not so sure they'll ever be able to run it. I expect them to be successful doing that.
I certainly hope so. Talking with Solomon Wilcutt here on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline about tonight's primetime showdown between the Browns and the Bengals. And you talk about this running game. The Browns, the first team to win back-to-back games, averaging less than 2 yards per carry in a long time in the NFL, multiple decades. So you got to get that ground game going. And you talked about the three-headed backfield. And Isaiah Crowell took a back seat last week. We've seen West. We've seen Tate. Solomon, if you were running this team, how would you see those carries divvied up amongst those running backs?
I wouldn't count on numbers as much as I would let the veteran get me going. And then I try to get the ball in Terrence West's hands. And then you roll with the hot hand. First half, I'm going to see all three guys get significant carries, even if I have to go one possession and you get a possession and you get a possession. But you give me a guy who gets hot, I'm going to keep feeding him the rock. And if he needs a breather, then I'm going to get the other guy in there. And I'm going to, you know, it's kind of like three dogs, one bone, right? And being a Cleveland Brown fan and Matt being in the dog pound, you would get this analogy. Three dogs, one bone. Let them go fight it out. Let them compete for that
That's
one
right.
ball.
Give them a shot.
For that one bone, and may the best man win.
Gotcha. Hey, Solomon, really quickly, again, having covered the Browns in the past and being in this building, talk to some of those out there about the culture change and the regime change, having Ray Farmer, you know, constructing this roster and Mike Pettine as a head coach moving forward and the optimism surrounding this football team into the future.
Well, you know, first of all, they've got one of the smartest guys in all of football when you talk about selecting talent, evaluating players, and Ray Farmer. And I just think that there's been a tremendous culture change of competency, the way they treat one another in the building. that this is a true professional organization now, and Mr. Haslam has given the leadership everything they need to go out and win. And I think he did a wonderful job in tabbing Ray Farmer. You look at this year's draft, and, you know, Justin Gilbert's going to come on. He's been playing better late, but he'll be a player. There's no doubt. We're not sure what Johnny Manziel is going to do, but at the end of the day, he's already been an asset. And Joe Bitonio has been phenomenal.
Yep.
Kirksey's been phenomenal. I mean, they didn't miss now, and they're just going to continue to get better. And so when you talk about Coach Patton, I just believe they got it right. I believe, you look, they're 5-3. He knows how to get the team to play in a complementary fashion. And players play hard for Pat. They really do. They enjoy playing for him. He gives the respect in the building that players want, but he is demanding. He's going to push them. And the second half of the season, I think we'll see a lot of these things bear out. But I can't say enough in terms of the positive things that I've seen within that building, the response that the players have to what's going on there. And I think the product on the field, as we all know, is far much better than it has been for years. And this is only the first year in which these specific guys have had a chance to work together.
It certainly is, and the Browns do find themselves at 5-3. Solomon, tonight against Cincinnati, how do you see this game playing out? And from a national kind of perspective on these teams, is this the biggest game that the Browns have played in maybe a decade?
Yeah, I mean, you remember last year, I think they were on a roll. They had about maybe 4-3, and they went on the road and played at Cincy. And I think Cincinnati scored 31 points in the second quarter. And it was just a real downer for the Browns after that. I don't think they went into an 8-game skid, if you will. It was just really bad. I hate to put so much on one game and say, oh, this is a big game, because if you lose it now, you can't pull out of it, because I think they can. But there is no doubt they can make a significant step, quantum leap, obviously breaking that 7-game consecutive losing streak on the road within the division, 17 straight, and then just beating a team within the division and then finishing in first place and knowing you're going to play Cincy later, but you're going to play them at your place in Cleveland. So, yeah, you have a chance to set the table to be doing something really special toward the end of the season. But this is just one step in many in terms of getting there.
It is a big, important step in terms of getting there for the Browns. Solomon, appreciate you taking the time to be with us here. We know you know this team well. Appreciate all the hard work put in the preseason, then obviously covering the games for CBS and covering the game so well at NFL Network. So appreciate your insights.
Nathan, Matt, you guys take care. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right, the great Solomon Wilcott's there to kick off the show here today, and we've got a lot coming your way. It's obviously a Call Your Shot Thursday today. That's what you got to do. Call your shot here. Browns, Bengals. Can the Browns go into Cincinnati and get this win? The first time since 1986 that these two teams have both been so good in the standings this late in the season. Also, who's the X factor in your mind for the Browns? If they're going to win, what player really has to step up and be that X factor? Let us know. And also, fill in the blank. The Browns will beat the Bengals tonight if they do blank. 145 Jeff Hobson from thebengals.com will be with us at 2. We'll hear sound bites from Mike Pettine, the head coach of the Browns, from the Mike Pettine Show that aired on Tuesday night. And then at 2:30, it's a special edition of the Friday Forecast on Thursday, a game day edition. Yes, the kid is down in Cincinnati, and he'll be joining us for the Friday Forecast. You should be down in Cincinnati, Matt Wilhelm.
I know,
maybe
but
next
I'm holding
time.
Down the bowl, man. I made sure nobody stole our food here in the Dog Bowl.
Good. Did they even have lunch for you today, or was,
oh,
no, because
was
nobody
was
there?
It was outstanding. It was outstanding.
Oh, good.
Yes, it was.
Good. Then he's got his belly is full, and he is ready to go. Got another hour and 45 minutes with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's game day, Dog Pound. Giddy up.